Let me first start out by saying Congressman Paul Finley and Ambassador Kilgore, LVA still loves you. Thank you, and God bless you. And I also want to thank Allison Weir for inviting me. I represent the USS Liberty Veterans Association, the LVA. I am the LVA's current president. Our mission statement states that we strive to have the truth told to the American public about the Israeli attack. That is, the attack was brutally deliberate. Personally, I've been to over 45 countries in my life travels, and it does not get any better than the United States for a system of government. Ergo, my love for country and the Liberty incident has opened my eyes. Our Creator gave our founding fathers the grace to create the most humane form of governing and is threatened from within. I have taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, and no one has told me to stand down. It is vitally important that our tripartite form of government remains intact, providing checks and balances. My focus is not only with the Johnson administration and the military, but Congress now, during, and present. I'm not critical towards the American public, as they have been deceived by our government, Israel, and the media, which is influenced and controlled by Israeli supporters. To wit, the laws have been broken or thwarted to maintain our relationship with Israel, and I'll provide you with details as I know them. It is my contention that by investigating the Liberty story, a very sinister historical blight becomes defined. I pray America has the guts to look inwardly and take the right steps to correct not only the Liberty injustices, but also become acutely aware of Israeli's actions, past, present, and future, against humanity and Palestine. Did you notice that Paul Pillar, Michael Schreer, and Ray McGovern are all former CIA employees? Well, I spent almost 29 years working with them also. I went from being a Navy spook to becoming a CIA staff officer working for the Office of Communications. Why do you think there are so many former CIA employees so concerned about the Middle East? Why are we so passionate about what happens in Palestine? I believe it has something to do with love of country. We care. It's part of our culture. As my British friends would say, we bloody well care. Speaking for myself, but I think they feel the same, I sense the calamity that is possible if we continue down our current course. What is the price for caring? Bigotry. I have written a book of some, and some of what I think I will talk about, you will find documented. It is appalling the length Israel's supporters will go to ensure that you are silenced and harassed. However, the USS Liberty story is very important, and it must be told truthfully and accurately. If you would like a copy, please see me. Before I get into the nitty-gritty about the attack, I need to mention the Moore Commission, which completed its task on October 22, 2003. The commission was made up of Admiral Thomas Moore, U.S. Navy deceased, who was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Chief of Naval Operations, General Ryman G. Geis, Marine Corps deceased, Medal of Honor recipient, and former Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps, Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, U.S. Navy deceased, former Judge Advocate of the Navy from 73 to 75, and Ambassador James Atkins, deceased, former U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia. The mission: findings of the Independent Commission of Inquiry into the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, the recall of military rescue support aircraft while the ship was under attack, and the subsequent cover-up of the United States government. The Moore Commission is the benchmark identifying the Israeli injustices that our government will not address. I am a Liberty survivor. What does that mean, and how does that work into the reassessment of our relationship with Israel? I survived the two-hour Israeli attack on the U.S. Naval Intelligence Ship, USS Liberty, AGTR-5. On June 8, 1967, during the Arab-Israeli Six-Day War, Israel tried to sink the ship, attempting to murder the crew of 294 Americans. They launched five torpedoes, but our captain, William McGonigal, acerbly dodged four of them. However, the fifth hit us on our starboard side, just forward of the midships, killing 25 of the 34 Americans. We did not sink, but two-thirds of the crew were incapacitated. There were wounded and dying sailors all over the ship. It was literally a bloodbath. It is miraculously we didn't sink, and I'll say more about that later. A little after 2 p.m., three Israeli unmarked fighter jets began strafing the ship with 20-millimeter cannon and rockets, killing the young sailors manning the 50-caliber machine guns. The radio men immediately tried to call for help, discovered all U.S. selected frequencies were jammed. The Israelis knew the frequencies were attempting to use. Nevertheless, the radio men finally got through to the 6th Fleet. No help was forthcoming that day, as the 6th Fleet had White House orders not to launch aircraft to come to our aid. Next came two fighter bombers that dropped napalm canisters on each side of the ship. Even though they were being shot at, the Liberty crew eventually put out the fires. After a brief lull, three torpedo boats arrived, strafing the ship with their 40-millimeter cannon and 50-millimeter machine guns. Then they proceeded to drop their torpedoes in the water. One finally did find its mark. Our skipper passed a command to prepare to abandon ship. Three inflatable life rafts that remained seaworthy were dropped over the side and were machine gunned by the motor torpedo boats. Our life vests were now our only hope for survival, and the more seriously wounded would never survive. However, the engine room was able to bring the boilers back to life, and the Liberty had power. In addition, damage control indicated that the ship stopped taking on water, and the ship came to a 9-degree list to starboard. So our captain wisely decided not to abandon ship. About that time, Israeli helicopters hovered near the ship, and rappel boarders were ordered. However, for whatever reason, their attack was called off and all hostilities ceased. I personally risked going topside to ascertain what was happening and saw two Israeli helicopters carrying armed Marines. The USS Liberty is currently the most decorated U.S. Navy ship for a single engagement. There were 208 Purple Hearts given alone. The military does not award Purple Hearts, Medal of Honor, Navy Crosses, Silver or Bronze Stars for mere accidents. But that is exactly what the Johnson administration attempted to call it initially. In order to secure the Jewish vote for an upcoming elections, they could not have Israel taken to task. This was a major historical event. Any other time, their action would have been an act of war. The event had to be buried quickly, quietly, and without fanfare. Therefore, a couple of actions were taken immediately. The Navy told the Liberty survivors never to talk about the attack to anyone, including our families, or face a $10,000 fine or 10 years imprisonment. What they called a matter-of-fact authoritarian council, they meant business. The Navy would handle the press. In other words, the crew was given a gag order. At the same time, the crew had to be made to feel that everything was okay and being done by the book. So the brave were honored and appropriate medals issued. Everything appeared to be on the up and up. To legally prevent us from future actions, the Navy Court of Inquiry had to come to the conclusion that the sailors did their job to defend the ship, and therefore there could be no court-martials delay burying the story. The attack had to be declared accidental. It was a masterful job, and the Johnson administration pulled it off. So the White House ordered the court to come to that conclusion, as indicated by the Navy lawyer of the court, Captain Ward Boston, deceased. Before he died, he gave us a sworn affidavit stating that Admiral Kidd and others deliberately ignored the crew's testimony and falsified the evidence. He was also videotaped giving details for this affidavit. In private conversations between Boston and Kidd, they knew the attack was deliberate and stated in the affidavit. They were good Navy officers and kept their secret until 2003. Why is this so important? This is obstruction of justice at the highest level. Let that sink in. I'll say it again. It's obstruction of justice at the highest level. That is, when the crew gave their testimony to the court, they testified the Israelis machine gun our life rafts and shot at firefighters and stretcher bearers. They are all war crimes. We assumed their testimony and official logbook data were acquired. No. They were eliminated. Whatever happened to the Uniform Code of Military Justice that all American military were sworn to observe? Now let's fast forward to June 2005. The Bush administration was concerned that war crimes were being committed during the Iraqi war. In order to be non-intimidating, the Pentagon indicated that if anyone witnessed a war crime, a system was created within the Department of Army to expedite all war crime reports. Therefore, on June 8, 2005, The LVA filed a war crimes report with the Pentagon, and guess what? Nothing happened. We were devastated and appalled, as we did everything by the book. We were informed that the 67th Navy Court of Inquiry had already investigated the incident and no action was required. If you write your congressman today, you'll get the same answer. In other words, the 67th Navy Court of Inquiry forms the official basis to explain the attack. The Liberty crew had been slam dunked. Why would the White House do this to the crew, on one hand exemplified themselves militarily, but on the other hand had to be contained and diminished? Israel. For example, our skipper, Captain William McGonagall, was awarded the Medal of Honor, not by President Johnson at the White House, which is the custom, but at a low-level ceremony at the Washington Navy Yard by the Secretary of the Navy. No press was invited. Are you starting to get the picture? We now know the order came from Mariush Dayan. We have declassified CIA cable exposing his order. One of the generals in the room that morning explained, "This is pure murder." But they went ahead as the order came from the defense minister, until an IDF Navy admiral later gave the order to stop the attack as the ship refused to sink. You see, their war plans included taking Syrian territory, the Golan Heights. By June 8, the IDF had taken out the air forces of Jordan, Egypt, and Syria, captured the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza, and the Sinai, but not the Golan Heights. In the meantime, the Soviets were going crazy, as Egypt and Syria were their client states, and Israel was kicking their behinds. The Soviet Prime Minister Brezhnev indicated to Johnson that they were ready to enter the war with paratroopers at the ready, and worse, if Israel did not stop acquiring their client's land. So Johnson passed that concern back to Israel, insisting that they come to the peace table, ending hostilities. We certainly did not want the Soviets involved. However, Dayan was not finished yet, and the Liberty could be intercepting Israeli military communications, moving troops out of the Sinai to the Syrian border. Secrecy was essential, and he was concerned our intelligence would be shared with our allies friendly to Egypt, and therefore, if found out, Egypt could counterattack and take back the Sinai. In the eyes of the Liberty, in his eyes, the Liberty had to be taken out in order to take the Golan Heights. Going against American guidance on June 9th, Israel took the Golan Heights. We have learned that the Soviet Union was ready to use military force and nuclear weapons had Israel made an attempt to invade Cairo and or Damascus. My point is a belligerent Israel important enough to risk American cities being annihilated by Arab nuclear weapons today? No. A belligerent Israel is not worth it. It is our only matter of time that fanatical Islamics will have nuclear weapons. It may not necessarily be Iran. What if nuclear Pakistan falls into the hands of fanatical Islamics over injustices in Palestine? Fanatical Islamics are not stupid and are analyzing everything we do in the Middle East. In order for Americans to be united when it is absolutely necessary to defend the defense of this wonderful country of ours, we better behave in an upright and honest manner. Protecting a belligerent Israel and its apartheid is not a just ideal. Why can't Congress understand Israel does not want peace in Palestine? Isn't it obvious? Okay, then, and who is responsible for the dangerous track we are currently traveling? In my opinion, Congress, the mouthpiece of the American public. With that said, our Constitution, thank you. With that said, our Constitution states in Article 1, Section 8, that Congress shall investigate all American Navy ships attacked on high seas during peacetime. When the Constitution was written, piracy was a concern. History indicates they have done so for every incident except one, the USS Liberty. Liberty crew, as well as the Liberty supporters, have written and had one-on-one conversation with congressmen about providing justice, not only to the crew, but more importantly, the 34 who were killed in action. For almost 47 years, their response has been empty and dismal. So why is this important? Because our system of checks and balances, an objective and independent Congress might not come to the same conclusion as the military, which comes under the executive branch, especially if the commander-in-chief wanted to create a war-like situation or dodge a situation that warrants a military or diplomatic response. The military does not disobey orders from the president. If the president's political controls both houses, then Congress can stand down if so directed. How did our Congress get this way? What happened to our sense of values? I can tell you from negative congressional replies we have received over the years that without the crew's testimony under oath, pertinent information has been buried or destroyed that would prevent an objective and independent investigation. The Liberty crew is not getting any younger, but our memories are clear and honest. Our collective families taught us that to be that way, and that is why some of us were selected to serve in the Naval Security Group. During the interim, the Liberty crew are called anti-Semitic, conspiracy theorists, and worse by Israeli supporters because we refuse to lie about the attack. The Navy League and the American Legion have indicated they favor support for Israel by discriminating against Liberty crew. The bottom line is because of Congress's lack of backbone to investigate the Liberty incident bolsters the bigotry we suffer. I hope I've convinced you that the Liberty story is vitally important, but if not, I want to leave you with a thought. I have stated before that all Navy accounts the Liberty should have sunk with all hands lost. The torpedo hull alone was 35 by 40 feet, and most of it was below the waterline. The torpedo hit the ship at the only place that would not break apart or explode our boilers. Even with the power of Washington, James Ennis, our division officer, had the courage to write a book and get it published in 1979, despite the Navy's gag order. Do you think that some of the Pentagon knew the Liberty crew was getting shafted and wanted to do the right thing? In conclusion, I must end this with a spiritual note. I have prayed about the attack, and the guidance he provided me is clear realization how important the Liberty story is to our nation, especially since Israel does not want peace. There are 34 Liberty souls who are screaming for justice, not only for them, but also the American public, who are being duped today. For their sake, please become aware that most congressmen are reluctant to do anything negative against Israel or have a firm belief that Israel comes first. Americans must take Congress back to objectively do the right thing all the time for America and humanity. For the sake of our grandkids and the pre-67 America we knew, I pray your effort is successful. God bless America.